We're going to continue our study today in the book of Nehemiah. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. Today I've titled the message, "The Holy Spirit's Promise to Rebuild." Aren't you thankful that it's God's promise to rebuild lives that are broken? Amen. Because all of us struggle from that. The enemy comes. The flesh gets in the way and we just see our lives, areas just broken. And I am thankful that God restores the brokenness in our lives. He rebuilds our lives. So today I want us to look at this passage and we're going to specifically focus on how the Holy Spirit promises us that He's going to rebuild our lives. Because through the years I've met numerous people that struggled thinking, this is the way life's going to be, it's never going to get any better. They had made bad decisions, things had happened to them, sometimes no fault of their own, but life was broken. And they just felt like they could never get back on track. And so today I'm here to tell you, if that's you today, God will get you back on track. He has a future for you and a hope for you in that future. So let's read this passage of Scripture today, beginning with verse 11. "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I rose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." He's acknowledging that this wasn't just his idea, it was a God idea. It came from God. He says, "Nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuge gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officers, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach.'" Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit, no matter how we've messed up our lives, He comes and rebuilds where our lives are no longer a reproach. Amen. I love that. The events that we're reading about here took place 4.5 centuries before Christ. And that's important. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's work throughout the ages, throughout His Word. Guess what? This is still relevant to your life. It's not just history. It's not just what happened all those years before Jesus. It's God intervening in the lives of people, making a difference in those lives. And church, that's relevant for you today. Just like these walls were torn down, the city was, there wasn't a stone left on another stone. It was totally demolished. And then when Nehemiah comes, it's been over 100 years since then. So things had grown up, the weeds and the trash had blown and everything. It just got worse. But in this passage, we see Nehemiah is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, there are different types or pictures of Jesus. Joshua is one. Moses is one. And we can see things in their lives that teach us something about Jesus. And in Nehemiah, we see in the life of this man, we see a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Now remember that Nehemiah held a prominent position. He was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He had all the luxury around him. He had a great job. He had all these things that were so nice compared to the rest of the world. This was the world power of that day. There was no kingdom that was greater. And he was there as an informal counselor to the king. Yet when he sees the testimony of what is brought back, there was a second contingent of people that went to help Jerusalem. And then they come back. His brother tells him, it's terrible. He tells them it's just a pile of rubble. They haven't been able to rebuild. The gates are burnt. And something happens in Nehemiah's heart. He is burdened. He's just overcome. He begins to fast and to pray, and he's mourning. And then he has the encounter with the king, and the king says, what is it you want? And he says, give me 12 years to go and to see those people rebuilt. It's an amazing story. But church, it's a picture of how the Holy Spirit is interested in your life, and he's working, whether you realize it or not, for your good. And he will come alongside you, welcome him into your life to just have his way, to come in and to change and to rebuild and to take away the reproach and to make you all that God intends for you to be.
Hallelujah.
That's his desire. This morning, I want us to look at the Holy Spirit's ministry in this passage. Now, we talked about Nehemiah and his name. His name means comforter or the consolation of God. And that's important because Jesus is speaking in John chapter 14 and verse 16, and he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. In many translations, it's comforter. And the reason is because it's the word parakletos, and it means one who comes alongside to help and to comfort. So both of those translations are equally correct. And a lot of times we don't understand that the Greek language is a rich language. You can take one word and it has powerful meaning, more than one. And this is one of those words. It means to come alongside and to help, but to come alongside and comfort. And of all the things the Holy Spirit does, the most tender is when he comes alongside us and wraps his loving arms around us and comforts us in our time of need. Amen. Aren't you thankful that's the God that we serve? He cares about you. Let's look at this verse. It continues. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Aren't you thankful this world is not all there is? The Holy Spirit's going to be with us for eternity, and we're going to be alive. Amen. The Spirit of Truth. He gives him his name there. He's talking the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amen. What a beautiful passage of Scripture that is, how the Holy Spirit is our helper and comforter. Now, there's only one of the reasons, that's only one of the reasons that I believe that Nehemiah is intended in God's Word to be a picture of the Holy Spirit. There's many other things that the Holy Spirit does. But of all the things that he does, I believe that comforting is the tenderest. But the most powerful thing that the Holy Spirit does is give us new birth in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing like that. Amen. There's nothing greater than coming to know Jesus and being born spiritually. In John chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." He's talking about earthly, natural, human birth, flesh and flesh. And then he's talking about spiritual birth that comes from the Holy Spirit, introducing us to Jesus, bringing us into the family. Amen. Where we were spiritually dead, he brings spiritual life to us. Amen. We're not the same anymore. If you don't understand what it means to be lost, the Holy Spirit comes and he shows us what it means to be lost without Jesus. He will not only do that, but he will not leave us in our sin. He will bring rebirth, and then he will reinforce that. What I mean by that is, once you're born again, the Holy Spirit's abiding inside of you, and when sin comes, the Holy Spirit's there, and he says, "Turn and run. Don't do it." At first, it's a little, you know, I'm going to use Tom as an illustration. First of all, Tom, don't do that. Tom, you don't want to do that. Tom, that's not going to help. That's going to hurt you, Tom. And then if Tom ignores, the Holy Spirit gets a little louder. Tom, don't do that. Tom, run! And then if Tom still ignores, Tom! Yes, 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 Tom! They didn't know you could run that fast, Tom. So the Holy Spirit guards us. He protects us. If we'll listen and we don't ignore. It's when we don't listen and we ignore the Holy Spirit, that's when we get into a mess. And the heart of God is to protect us. What did Jesus tell us to pray? "Lead me not into temptation." Amen. How many pray that? You don't have to raise your hand, but do you pray that? We should. Amen. "Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me." Amen. In John 14, 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." I love that. But when the Holy Spirit comes to comfort, it is possible that our greatest need, possibly the greatest need that we have outside of salvation, because we face fear, we face brokenness, we face pain. It's just like being a child. And when you fall down and you hurt your knee, mom comes running out there and picks you up, holds you and cuddles you and tells you everything's going to be all right. We never outgrow that. We need that from the Holy Spirit. So today I want us to look at three phrases in this passage. Let's look at Nehemiah again, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 12, verse 13, and verse 15. There's three things there I want us to see. They're very powerful and important. "Then I arose in the night," Nehemiah says in verse 12. In verse 13, he says, "And I went out by night." And then in verse 15, "So I went up in the night." Three times in this passage, Nehemiah is reinforcing for us to know the truth that he was there not in pomp and circumstance. He was working at night when nobody knew he was there. Nobody saw him, what he was doing. It was at night. Three times he tells us, at night I was surveying the devastation and what needed to change and how we needed to rebuild. I love that. Here he's saying he didn't come with ceremony. He didn't come and say, gather everybody into the center of the city. I want to announce who I am and what I'm going to do. He didn't come and say, boy, this is your lucky day. I'm here. And I'm here for you. No, he didn't do that. He didn't announce his presence. Even though everybody in town probably knew he was there. Why? Because he was from the court of King Artaxerxes. There would have been a certain air about that group of people coming into town. They probably would have gotten around that, oh, there's a dignitary in town. But they didn't know why he was there. They probably just thought it was some kind of diplomatic meeting that he had come for. But they probably knew. But Nehemiah says, I didn't tell them what I was there for, and he was there for them. He was there for them. His heart was for them. It wasn't about him. It was about them and what they had gone through and his heart that was broken for them, desiring to see their lives put back together and rebuilt. The rubble is a result of Jerusalem's destruction a century before, and the mess had just gotten worse. But Nehemiah has come. He's come with letters. We looked at it last week, of authority that gives him the authority to come and to see those lives rebuilt. In church, that is a picture. The Holy Spirit has all of the authority. He is part of the Trinity. He is God. He has all authority to see your life rebuilt. I'm thankful for that. Nehemiah also came and he had letters of provision so that everything that they needed would be provided. Church, the Holy Spirit will provide everything that's needed for your life to be rebuilt. There's no life that's too far devastated that the Holy Spirit cannot come, provide everything that he needs to provide to see that life changed, transformed, rebuilt for the glory of God. I love that. And then he comes with a personal commitment of time. He comes with affection and he comes with devotion for these people. He comes with all of this, and the Holy Spirit comes as well. He's got all the time that it needs to see your life rebuilt. He comes with affection. He loves you. He cares about you. He comes with everything that's needed to see our lives rebuilt. I love that. He's devoted to us. But notice in this passage, he doesn't come saying any of these things. He doesn't come and tell, he doesn't wave the papers, say, hey, these papers give me all the authority. I can do whatever I want to do to rebuild the city. Let's celebrate. I've got other papers that give me all of the provision. And guess what? I've donated 12 years of my life to see this city rebuilt. He doesn't do that. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. That's the way the Holy Spirit is. It's a picture of him. Listen to this in Isaiah, what the Lord says, chapter 65 and verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Amen. God's working before we even know that we can ask him. He's working on our behalf even before we know how awesome and powerful he is and how much he loves us, he is still already working on our behalf. That's amazing. And look at this. Even though we don't realize it, in the darkness of our circumstance, the Holy Spirit is right there working. Amen? It doesn't matter how dark the circumstances are, the Holy Spirit is there in the midst, looking and observing and ready to rebuild your life. I love that. There are some of us who right now are probably in the darkness of circumstance. And the God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. God's awake, God's at work for you. Just like Nehemiah was awake in those darkness hours when nobody knew he was working, the Holy Spirit is working for your future. The second thing I want us to see is in verse 14. Look at verse 14 with me. But there was no room for the animal under me to pass. Nehemiah says it was such a mess that as he was surveying all of the grounds and what the city looked like and the walls that had been torn down, he came to a place where he couldn't even get his animal through. It was too difficult for him to pass. So what did he do? He worked until he got around it. I want you to think about that. When Nehemiah got to that place where it seemed there was no way to continue to move forward, he found a way to move forward. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. You may feel like you're trapped, you're blocked in, that you're surrounded by rubble, and there's no way that you can go forward and get around this mess. The Holy Spirit will always find a way for you to move forward into what God has planned for you. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, that's good.
That's good.
I receive that. I love that. The Holy Spirit will work past the hopelessness of the situation that you're in. He will work past all the blockage of the enemy so that you can continue to progress. Jesus still makes a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. And the third thing I want us to look at in verse 17. He says, you see the distress that we are in. I love that. He could have shown up and said, hey, I'm the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. I'm from Persia. And he's given me time to come to bless you, to help you rebuild your lives. I see that you're really struggling here. Things don't look too good. Things are messed up. But that's not what he does. He identifies with them completely. He says, your problem is my problem, and I'm here to work with you that we can both work together to overcome this devastation. And that's the Holy Spirit, church. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit. I love that. He comes and he identifies with us. Think about how great God identifies with you fully. The Son of God left heaven and all the glory of heaven and became a man. Now that blows my mind. Because when I think about, you know, God becoming man, think about yourself. Say you loved your little dog. I had a precious lady who was in my church years ago, named Nancy, and she was my mom's best friend, and she was like a second mom to me. And one time I was preaching about God, how God identifies with us. And I said, who here would say, I would give my life for my dog? And obviously nobody put their hand up except for her. And she immediately put her hand up. And she had two cute little poodles. And she said, I would. And it just blew my train of thought. I said, what? I may love my pets, but I'm not going to die for my pets. But think about this. There's a lot less between man and animals than there is between God and man. And yet God became man to identify with you, to be our Savior and our Lord. Hallelujah! So that's not some small point, church. That's powerful to think about God leaving the glory of heaven and becoming man. He became man. And he lived a sinless life. And he died on the cross for our sins. He identified, he took all of our sins upon himself that we might be cleansed from our sins. He paid the price for us. That's totally identifying with us. And that's what we see here in the life of Nehemiah. He says, I'm identifying with you. Your problem is now my problem. Are you with me? Melody's not with me, so I've got to come over here. Okay, wake up. Stay with me. I'm identifying with you, Melody. I want you to be all that God wants you to be. I love that. You see the distress that we are in. He fully identifies with them. And then he dedicates 12 years of his life. That's in this situation, it's hard to imagine. But many people don't fathom how great a step down it is to have God identify with us. If we did, we would respond like they did in verse 18. How did they respond? Let us rise up and build. If you know how much that God loves you, that the Holy Spirit is with you, that there's all authority, all power, all provision, that he has everything that's needed to rebuild your life, then why do we doubt that? Why don't we say, yes, Lord, start rebuilding my life right now. Right now, that's what they did. Let's rebuild. Let's get with it. Because he identified with them. I love that. Nehemiah was not there to change things. Now, this is the final point. He's not there to change things without their partnership. Are you with me? He doesn't say, sit back and relax and watch me rebuild the gates and the walls. He says, I'm here to help you rebuild. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. He wants to partner with us that we can become Nehemiahs, where we see the hurting, see the broken. We come alongside them and we say, I'm here to help you. God's going to come alongside us. We're going to see your life rebuilt. And church, that's what God's stirring on my heart. I want to be a Nehemiah. Amen. I want to see lives transformed. I want to see those that are in bondage, those that are surrounded by walls of life that's crumbled down around them. I want to come with them and see the Holy Spirit make a way where there seems to be no way, where he gives them a future, gives them a hope, rebuilds their lives. And God has called us to partner with him. How many know Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Did he say that? Have you ever noticed that Jesus builds churches alongside of people who yield themselves? Amen? Jesus wants us to partner with him. He's promised to rebuild lives, to rebuild churches. He's promised to rebuild marriages, rebuild families. Whatever's been torn down by the enemy, he's promised to rebuild it. But we have to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives to rebuild. When we welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can be like Nehemiah and have that spirit and come alongside others who need to see their lives rebuilt. Amen? I want you to stand with me. I want the worship team to come if they would. And I want to ask you today, as the prayer team comes, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come across the front and around the back of the auditorium. And as the prayer team comes today, is there any area of your life that you need for the Holy Spirit to rebuild? Maybe there's walls around you of rubble. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's bitterness, resentment. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's anger. Is there any area in your life you need the Holy Spirit to come and to rebuild today? Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're struggling in your family. Maybe you're struggling at work in your relationship with your coworkers or your boss. What does the Holy Spirit need to come alongside you today and rebuild in your life? Because He will. He's promised to do that. And secondly, if there's anyone here today that's never opened up your heart to Christ, I want you to find someone to pray with and say yes to Jesus. There's nothing more important. Your life isn't going to be rebuilt unless you say yes to Jesus. And that's the greatest decision that any of us can ever make. So if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, maybe you've drifted away and you just need to come and rededicate your life to Jesus, I invite you to come. Whatever your need is today, I want you to find one of our prayer team. Just spend a few moments in prayer with them and let Jesus, the Holy Spirit, build your life.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.